Well, our hearts were saddened, of course, to hear about the events in Paris and France throughout the last week. How sad to think of the murder of 17 people, and it's a tragedy just to see it unfolding on the news, on the television screens, and live coverage of the hunt for those two murderers who murdered the people in that publishing company. How sad it is. But you know, as I thought about the massacre during the week in France and in Paris, I began to think of another massacre. It took place quite a few years ago. In fact, it took place hundreds of years ago. It's known as the Saint Bartholomew Days Massacre. The Saint Bartholomew Days Massacre. It took place on August the 24th, which is known as Saint Bartholomew's Day, or the feast day of Saint Bartholomew. Of course, we don't hold that day, and we don't worship the disciples as saints, because every person who's born again and washed in the blood is a saint. But that's the day, the 24th of August. It's known as Saint Bartholomew's Day. And that's the day the massacre took place in the year 1572. And the massacre and the murder of innocent people took place for some time afterward. At the end of the murders, there were 100,000 Protestants had been murdered, massacred. You didn't hear me wrong. 100,000, known as Huguenots. You maybe heard of the French Huguenots. They were French believers who held to the scriptures, and they believed the Bible. The Bible was their final source of authority in matters of faith and practice. 100,000 of them were murdered by the Roman Catholic Church, instigated by the Roman Catholic Church. And what a terrible massacre it was. Of course, there's a lot of people forget about incidents like that in history, but it's important. You've heard me say time and time again, you're tired of hearing me say the importance of knowing our history. But I thought it was appropriate. It was interesting, I thought, just to think about the massacre this past week in Paris. But what about the massacre of 100,000 Protestant believers in 1572 in the same city and in the same country? Now, I'm not going to speak tonight and preach tonight about the St. Bartholomew Day's Massacre. I could, and maybe someday we'll come back to it. But tonight, the only reason I mention the massacre in Paris this past week and the massacre in 1572, the reason I mention it is to highlight what a terrible thing sin is. What a terrible thing sin is. Because sin leads to murder. Sin in the human heart has its expression in murder. You see, in the Word of God, actually in 1 John, we've read 1 John 1 tonight, but there's another verse in 1 John, and it tells us that hatred is in the same category as murder. So people tonight would say, oh, but I'm not a murderer. I wouldn't go out and pull the trigger and murder a person. Well, the Lord says that to have hatred in your heart, that's the seed of murder. In a sense, that's where murder comes from. And you see, the reality tonight is that every person on this earth at some point or other has had hatred in their hearts. And surely the lesson is that all men are sinners, and that sin is a terrible thing. But we've come tonight to a wonderful verse, a verse that brings good news to us. It reminds us of the remedy for sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This verse of Scripture is known as Francis Ridley Havergal's text. We mentioned it, I think, a few weeks back. This is the text that is on her tombstone. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin." We have sung her hymns tonight. All three hymns so far have been written by Francis Havergal. Later on in the service, at the end, we'll sing another hymn written by Miss Havergal. She wrote many other hymns. Last Sunday, we had that hymn, "Another Year is Dawning." "Church of God, beloved and chosen, God will take care of you." We've sung it tonight already, "I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus." Another one we've sung tonight, "Like a river glorious, Lord, speak to me. Master, speak, thy servant heareth," the hymn we've just sung. "Precious, precious blood of Jesus," that's the last hymn tonight. "Standing at the portal," we sung that last Sunday. "Take my life and let it be," again we had it last Sunday. And then, "Who is on the Lord's side?" These are some of the hymns that we sing week by week, and thank God for them. You know, we should often thank the Lord for the opportunity to join together and sing as a congregation. I know it's good to have soloists, and it's good to have groups, and it's good to have choirs, and I've nothing against that. In fact, in March at our anniversary services, we will have different singers taking part. But what a blessing it is to be able to join together as a congregation. Thank God tonight for congregational singing, and that was one of the byproducts of the Reformation. It was one of the great blessings to come out of the Protestant Reformation, the rediscovery of congregational singing. Just being able to join in singing these great hymns together, to be able to sing about, to be able to think about the words that we're singing. Sad to say, even to this day in the Roman Catholic Church and in other so-called Christian organizations, it's reserved to the choir or it's left to special singers. And sad to say, many, oftentimes, you can't even make out their chants and their songs and whatever it is they're singing. But thank God tonight for these great hymns, not only written by Francis Havergal, but by other great hymn writers. Thank God we can sing them together. And we can rejoice in all that the Lord has done for us. Francis Havergal was born in the year 1836. It was December the 14th, was the date of her birth. She was born in Worcestershire in England. She was reading by the age of 4. She began to write poetry at 7. She learned Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. She memorized the Psalms, the book of Isaiah, and most of the New Testament. Well, I'm going to stop there right away, and I'm going to say I have a lot of catching up to do. And I'm sure we could all say that. My, how important it is, what an important exercise it is to memorize Scripture. What an important role it is for parents, fathers and mothers, to teach their children the Scriptures. What an important role it is for Sunday school teachers to teach the children the Scriptures, to help the children to memorize the Word of God. When Frances Havergal was 11, she was called to her dying mother's bedside. Her mother urged her daughter to give herself and her talents wholly to the Lord. She said, "You are my youngest little girl, and I feel more anxious about you than the rest. I do pray for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. And remember, nothing but the precious blood of Jesus can make you clean and lovely in God's sight." And of course, Frances Ridley Havergal never forgot those words of her dying mother, a young girl just 11 years of age, as she watched her mother pass away into the presence of the Lord. She took those words with her. Remember, nothing but the precious blood of Jesus can make you clean and lovely in God's sight. She lived a life for the Lord. She wrote many, many hymns, as we've already said. And then, of course, the time came for her to join with her mother, to meet her mother again in the heavenly country, in glory. And she went to be with the Lord on June the 3rd, 1879. She was just 42 years of age. Just a candle, we could say, that burned and flickered for a short time. But my, what a blessing she was, and what a blessing her hymns still are to the Church of Christ. She's buried in the city of her birth in England. And on her tombstone, as we've already said, is the scripture verse she claimed as her own. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My, you couldn't have anything better on your tombstone. My, what an epitaph to have to leave for others to consider. I want us to think tonight about Frances Havergal's text. This great text of scripture that was quoted and written by John the Apostle. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit to pen these great words about the blood of Christ cleansing from all sin. I want you to notice, first of all, there's an awful thing in this verse. I see an awful thing in 1 John 1 verse 7. It's that little word, sin. S-I-N. Sin, sin, a terrible thing. That's what the children's chorus says. Sin is a terrible thing. We've already said that tonight. You just look at what happened in France this past week and what's happening across the world. Let's remember, and my, the media, the newspapers, the broadcasting companies, they're not so quick to broadcast about the hundreds and thousands of Christians who are being butchered by Islamic radicals across the world. You not hear very much about that on the news, but in countries like Nigeria, other countries where Christians are being murdered and massacred for the cause of Christ, my, sin is a terrible thing. What a plague it is upon the world in which we live. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 9, the prophet said there, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. You know, the iniquity of every person on planet Earth is exceeding great. Sin is an awful thing. The story is told of John Wesley. He was traveling home through a forest from a preaching engagement, and he was held up by a highwayman, by a robber. And of course, John Wesley didn't have very much money on him. We know from his biography and his history that he gave away most of the money that he had. But he was held up by the highwayman, and the highwayman asked him for his money. Your money or your life? So John Wesley reached into his pockets and he handed over what little money he had. Then he said a very strange thing to the robber. He said, go and look in the bag there as well. He had another bag. He told the robber to go and have a look in it. The robber sort of looked at him suspiciously. But he went and he took whatever money was in the bag as well. And he was about to leave and flee into the wood, into the trees. But Wesley called him over. He said, my man, someday you'll regret this kind of living. And when you do, remember one thing. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. The robber took to his heels and fled, and John Wesley just sat there in his carriage for a moment and prayed that the Word of God would have an impact and would have an effect and take root in the life of that sinful man. Some years later, John Wesley was speaking at a particular service, an open-air service. At the end of the meeting, a man came up to him with tears in his eyes. He said, "Do you not remember me? I'm the robber. I'm the highwayman who held you up." And I couldn't get that verse out of my mind, the Bible verse you quoted to me, Mr. Wesley. "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And that verse hounded me and followed me for years until I was converted. And I just want to come now, and I just want to come forward to you and to say, thank you. It's all because of you, Mr. Wesley. John Wesley just turned to the robber, the former robber, and he said, "No, it's not because of me. It's not due to me. There's no glory due to me. The glory is due to the Lord Jesus Christ, for the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth you and me from all sin." Now, friends, let me say tonight that robbers need cleansing through the blood of the Lamb. But you see, not only do robbers and thieves and murderers need cleansing through the blood of Christ, but every one of us tonight need cleansing, because we've all got our own sins. And the Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us need the cleansing that is only found in the precious blood of Jesus. Yes, sin is an awful thing. But I not only see an awful thing in this verse, thank God, there's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing, because it says the blood of Jesus Christ. My, are there any more wonderful words in the English dictionary, in the English language? Five wonderful words. The blood of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thing that is. My, would it not make you want to go out and tell your family and your neighbors the gospel? Would you not want to go and share with others and reach out to others and seek to evangelize others? Whenever you think about those wonderful words, this is the heart of the gospel. It's the very kernel of the gospel, that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed that our sins might be cleansed. The story is told of a skeptic, an atheist, who one day he was ridiculing and mocking a Christian preacher who was preaching in the open air about the blood and how the blood cleanses away sin. And the skeptic came up to the preacher and he said, "Now you explain it to me. Ha ha, you say that blood can cleanse away sin. Ha ha, go on ahead and explain it." The preacher just turned to the man and he said, "Well, can you explain to me how water quenches thirst? You just go ahead and explain to me how water quenches thirst." The old atheist was put in his box. He couldn't explain it, but he had to admit that it worked. Yes, water does quench thirst. We can't just explain it. We don't know all the ins and outs of it as to how it works, but it works. I don't know how electricity works. I can't work it all out, how when you come into the church and you flick a few switches at the back there, how the lights come on, how it all operates, I don't know. But I know one thing, it works. And when you flick the switches, the lights come on. Friends, tonight I don't know all about the precious blood of Christ and how it cleanses from all sin, but I know it works. And I'm glad tonight to be under the blood. And if you're a Christian too, you'll be glad that you're under the blood. Because the precious blood of Christ is the only thing that is sheltering you and me tonight from the wrath of Almighty God. Oh, thank God for this beautiful thing, the blood of Jesus Christ. We've read tonight in Leviticus chapter 16. Let me just finish off. Leviticus 16. The story there of the Day of Atonement. And in verse 21, we read, "And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness." Now, what's the connection between Leviticus 16 and 1 John 1, verse 7? It's the little word all. All. We have read tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And in Leviticus 16, verses 21, 22, those verses we have just read, that little word all is mentioned four times. All the iniquities, all their transgressions, all their iniquities, and all their sins, four different times, the word all is mentioned. And it's pointing us forward from the Day of Atonement, from the blood of the goat, from the blood of the goat that was sacrificed on the Day of Atonement. It's pointing us forward from that day, because you see, friends, the blood of goats and bulls can never cleanse sin. It can never remove the stain of sin. It could only sweep it under the carpet, as it were, sweep it under the rug. But you see, it's pointing forward to the precious blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth from all sin. And it does cleanse from all sin. I'm glad about that tonight, because if I was to stand here and testify to you about some of the sins that I was involved in before the blood of the Lamb cleansed me, my, it would make your hair stand on end. And before you say, "Oh, isn't that terrible?" I'm sure you've got skeletons in the closet as well. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And hallelujah, it continues day by day to cleanse us from all sin. I wonder, do we have someone listening to the message? You're not a believer. You haven't been cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You're still in your sins. Well, I want to finish tonight by saying that God is rolling out the red carpet to you tonight. If I can put it like that, the red carpet is being rolled out to you tonight. Backslider, lost soul without Christ, the Lord is rolling out the red carpet to you this evening. The precious blood of Christ is being offered to you, and that blood can cleanse from all sin. What are you going to do with the red carpet? Are you going to walk down that red carpet and come to Christ? Are you going to trust in His redeeming blood? May the Lord give you the grace to do so. We're going to turn to our final hymn. As we've already said, it's written by Francis Ridley Havergal. "Precious, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for thee." 277, we'll have the first and the last verses of the hymn.
Let's not.